Well, Yvette, another matter that has been occupying the local news in the last week has been a reaction from a number of different politicians to the series of editorials that the Gleaner ran, in which they compared or referred to the political parties as political gangs. If you remember, it was about 3 weeks ago that we actually had a discussion with Mr. Colin Steer, who's the editor of the Sunday Gleaner, about this very matter. In fact, we were congratulating him on this new tack by the Gleaner, in which they're taking this very hard hitting sort of approach to in their editorial space to the politics of this country. And apparently a number of people have objected to this, one of them being Dr. Hopeton Dunn, who I understand said that there were other issues or there were other ways that the media could deal with this. What do you think?
Well, you know what, let's refresh our memories by playing back an extract from that programme. We'll hear an extract of the editorial and also the question that you put to the Sunday Gleaner editor.
There were other things in this issue of the Sunday Gleaner which caught my attention. For instance, the editorial was very strong, I thought, and it basically makes the point that Jamaica has been in the capture of two gangs since for the last 70 years, and certainly since independence.
The Sunday Gleaner, April 3rd, 2011, editorial, "The Parties Have Failed Jamaica." For around 70 years, including nearly half a century as an independent country, Jamaica has been in the capture of two gangs. Officially, they are political parties: the Jamaica Labour Party, which currently forms the government, and the People's National Party, which is the opposition. Over these 7 decades, these gangs, sometimes after violent competition, have alternated in the rule of the country and the control of the lives of its citizens.
This is quite a strong statement. There's something happening at the Gleaner.
Well, this editorial, the editorial to which you refer, was the first in a campaign, you know, to put it simply, to bring pressure to bear on leaders, particularly public sector leaders, to say that it can't be business as usual. You have to act in a different way and in a better way for the improvement of Jamaica and Jamaicans. And we focused on the political parties because of the roles that they have played in being a part of government over the years and to bring, you know, the pressure. So the editorial itself is part of a series, a campaign, a position that the Gleaner has taken, that this is a position that we are going to be adopting of putting pressure to bear on people in the society whom we believe can bring useful leadership to the country. And since that Sunday editorial, there have been others along the same line calling civil society to act more responsibly and to take on some of what we see as the roles that civil society can play, and also to challenge a wider society as to how we believe that we can act in the best interests of Jamaica.
That was Colin Steer, editor of the Sunday Gleaner, and we had put the question to him about the editorial referring to political parties as gangs, and this is also part of a series, and as we said, it has actually now become something of the news. Well, what is your take on that? You know, the editorial section of the newspaper is a space for opinion, and should politicians really be so concerned about being referred to in that manner? Is it not suggesting something, but it's not exactly suggesting that they're gangs in the same way as criminal gangs, but it is, you know, it is a use of words, and it is trying to make a point. And I think what Colin Steer was saying was that they want to put pressure on public officials to do things in a different way.
Yeah, well, I completely approve. I remember congratulating Mr. Steer on this line of editorializing. I think it's very appropriate. It's the appropriate space to do it. And I've always been surprised that instead of putting the blame where it really belongs, I've seen far too much editorial space devoted to castigating DJs, for instance, who don't have the kind of power that politicians do and are not responsible for the state of the nation. So why is it that these politicians never objected to editorial diatribes against popular musicians or other, they never objected and said this isn't the right place to do this. But now when the finger is pointed at them, only Portia Simpson Miller apparently was willing to accept the blame. And she apparently said that the gang tag is our own doing, you know. Basically, she said, quote, "We are the ones who allow ourselves to be called gangs because of how we treat each other," she said. The disrespect for each other, what we say on the platforms, and we only say good things about each other when the person cannot hear one word that we are saying. I mean, that's not really the point, in my opinion. I think the point that was being made is that the political parties have relied on actual gangs and violence, you know, and bullets and things like that to maintain their power.
Well, no,
for too long.
Yeah, well, there's two sides to it. One side may say, as politicians, you should expect to hear rather harsh words and be able to shrug them off. And then there is another side that suggests that we really shouldn't be subjecting politicians to these kind of words that are very loaded. I think maybe in the middle of that is that the discussion that all of this generates can't be bad.
Absolutely can't be bad. And in fact, it's necessary because we cannot keep doing things the same old way. And if we don't change our tactics, then things are only going to get worse. I mean, people are committing suicide every day. Violence is increasing. Although the government seems to want to claim that crime is down, and they can actually claim that because the number of violent crimes has abated a bit, it doesn't mean that the country isn't imploding in other ways.
Well, put it into context. What is an editorial? What is the purpose of an editorial as distinct from a news item? We're actually talking about an editorial. So what is the leeway there to use opinion based on?
Right. Well, my understanding is that an editorial, a respected newspaper is a very powerful tool in the sense that it also is a matter of record, you know, that as a matter of record, this newspaper and the editors of this newspaper are taking a stand about a particular thing or event or a person or whatever it may be. When they choose to focus on something in the editorial column, it is a way of drawing national attention to whatever the subject of that editorial is. And this has been a legitimate form of journalism and newspapering for centuries now. So it's rather odd for our politicians suddenly to claim that, Professor Hopton Dunn, the director of the Caribbean Program in Telecommunications Policy and Management at the Mona School of Business, apparently suggested that the Gleaner should take a different approach. I'm quoting now from what he said. Quote, "We should be more concerned about investigating and exposing gangster behavior than engage in broad brush name calling," end of quote. Now, sorry, and then he went on to say, "We are not all very happy with the performance and with the conduct of many of our political leaders, but after all, they are our representatives."
Well, it could be argued that a good editorial, amongst other things, what it should do and will do is spark debate, and persons are entitled to their opinion, and that we actually ought to be rather thankful that such diverse opinions can exist and can be given... air. And I should imagine that the writers of the editorial might be quite pleased to know that it is causing
absolutely
a little bit of a fuss.
They should consider their strategy a great success, because you have people like former Central Manchester MP John Juner dismissing the gang label and saying at a People's National Party rally that the term "gangs of Gordon House" was contemptuous. He conceded that there are corrupt politicians, quote, but asserted that if the newspaper's intention was to improve the country's politics, the approach was counterproductive. Now, this wasn't only one party that took this line. Daryl Bars from the office of the Prime Minister also said that he found the characterization offensive. He said, quote, "It is a bitter pill to swallow when you can classify so generally members of political parties as members of gangs, bearing in mind what gangs are perceived to be." Now, you know, it's a pity that they don't like it and that they consider it contemptuous, but then they must behave in such a manner that such things cannot be said about them.
Well, let me put another angle, which is that some may feel it is unfortunate that so much time and effort and energy is being spent on this editorial from the politicians when there are so many other more pressing issues that some would regard offensive. That, you know, words is one thing, but there are things that are offensive that are happening, and that maybe, you know, spend less time worrying about what they're being called and dealing with what they're actually called to do. That's, some people have been arguing about what's all the fuss about. Get on with running the country and the bigger problems that we have.
Absolutely. I mean, it is, in my opinion, what is counterproductive is this kind of quibbling about what the Gleaner has rightfully, I think, chosen to focus on as the gangs of Gordon House. And this is what civil society is about, and this is what criticism is about. I think that unfortunately there has been almost a kind of fatwa against criticism in Jamaica, and this is why people are reacting in this thin-skinned manner. But I very much welcome the approach of the Gleaner.
That's where we have to leave it for this edition of Double Standards. We want to thank our guest, Dr. Jonathan Farley, and our studio engineer, Mr. Andrew Anderson. Thank you all for listening. And until our next edition, I'm Yvette Rowe.
And this is Annie Paul. You've been listening to Double Standards.